Okay, I actually like to go to the Beis Yosef, the tour of Beis Yosef. There is one Darkei Moshe I asked you to look at. The numbering may be off. It's a really important Darkei Moshe, and I actually find it to be baffling, the Shita of the Isser V'Heter. But we'll talk about it when we get there. But let's start by reading the tour. And David. May I? No, start with the tour. We start with the tour. I eventually I want to go to Dakimash, but not there yet. Kuf Gimel? Kuf Okay, so that's pretty straightforward and important. You, I think, maybe was it you? You guys asked me the question of when the tour quotes when the Beis Yosef quotes the Rush here, and says a Rush Kasab in the first paragraph. A parakei mamidim dafilu meshubach betchilah v'achakach nifka mutar v'hevi kamarayas adaver v'cheni haskamas kalaposkim. It's a little bit you can misread this line in Beis Yosef. He doesn't mean he's not talking about hishpiach ol besof pagan. Hishpiach l'sof pagam means that the iser falls in, and initially it improves the flavor, like yain or chometz l'toch ha-grisin. And in fact, the Beis Yosef or somebody, I think the Beis Yosef is very unhappy that the Torah keeps writing here yain, and it's supposed to be chometz actually. It's chometz shel yain. So the chometz falls in, and it's l'shvach, and now you cook it, and it's l'fgam. So that is not mutter, because once it falls in and it's l'shvach, now the mixture is usser. When you now transform the mixture and the vinegar has a negative effect, in order for it to be mutter, you need it to be pogum lagamre. Now it has to be mamish ena ru'i lager. When it's just the tam, that then if the tam is pogam, then it's usser. But when it's the mamasho shel iser, it has to be ena ru'i lager. The interesting thing about this, and I haven't seen anybody point this out, is that this sounds a little bit like, conceptually, chaticha nasis nevela. Because what you're saying, and nobody invokes that here, but what you're saying is the chometz asers the grogros? The chometz, the grisim. So the chometz asers the grisim. Now, when you now heat this, you're heating the chometz and you're heating the grisim. Now the chometz is a negative effect on the grisim. So if you say an effect chanan, so now once it asers the grisim, it's all iser. And now in order for it to come mutter, it has to be srucha. It has to be enuri leger. But if you say that it's just the chometz, you can taste the chometz in the taroves, but now that you cook it, the chometz tastes bad, why should hishpiach al besof pagam be aser? I don't know the answer to that. Yossi knows the answer to that question.
I don't know the answer. I'm saying it could be because of like Hanan, or it could just be because like passively we don't have any other standard for able to apply. Because we can't just apply pogame anymore because the gina is going to be coming from something which is not part of the food. So we're kind of stuck. So so even if you don't say Hanan, your next standard able to apply is that. Does that
mean? I'm not copying what you're saying.
Meaning there are many people who don't say Hanan and nevertheless say that in a case where it's initially mashpiach and then afterwards.
Well, that the Gemara says, so right. You can't argue on it.
I'm saying, so how do you understand that if you don't hold Hanan?
Right.
So you just have, just because you can't, you no longer can use the standard of Pagima Ksas.
But why not? In other words, I understand initially it was mashpia. I get that part. But now it's pogam.
Right.
Now it's pogam. Now you have your original head there with vinegar that fell in. That effect is being pogam the time. Right? The conceptual presentation, as whoever in Beis Yosef quotes it from, it's the Ran, is that the Isser becomes a new Isser, right? And now it's the Shvach. And now for that to become mutter, it has to be pogam lagamre. But who says it became a new Heftza? Alex?
Maybe it has to.
See, That's a metzias. So your argument is the metzias. But when you look at the way the Beis Yosef, where it's presented, it doesn't sound like that. So you're giving me a gezeira reason. I understand that. But what if we see it inside, you see it doesn't. That doesn't seem to be what's going on. Okay. Let me just see if that's where it is. Right, see, he says, if you look at it, it's in the paragraph, the Bimar Maschel, B'med Dver Mamurim, Shephogi Mitchila Shaviyat Sofa. We haven't gotten there, so we'll get there in a moment, but he says, Nira Li, Kasavaran, Nira Li, Dahachi Karmelo, Tema, Kevan, She, Sof Chomet, Ze, Lifkom, Keshir, Tech, She, Nira Oso, Kephogi Mitchila So. Ela, Nase, Kitav, Shil, Shehishbiach, Mechamasa Isser, Ulebisof, Pogam, Mechamas Atzmo, the Osir, Achi, Posel, Milechol, La'adam ad kan l'shona, right? So he seems to be describing not a gzera, but a conceptual way of viewing it. In other words, don't say that when the chometz fell and this was mashbia, but you know you're gonna, if you boil it, it's gonna be pogum, so it's kinser pogum. But rather, view it as if the issa was mashbiach the heter, it's now osir, and then when it's pogum ech masatzma. Right now, I don't think it's because of a gzera the way you're suggesting. It's because now it's a new thing. I think that's the reason why we view it as, if you know that it's not going to the question of, you know, whether you do or don't know what the effect is, but if you know that the vinegar is what's doing it, so it only makes sense if you understand what he's saying as that it's now a new thing and it's poge mech masatzma. You'd even say that the vinegar is now part of this food. Right? And as you know, it's not that you have greasing with some vinegar mixed in, you have greasing vinegar, or vinegar greasing, I should say, vinegar greasing, and now, when you boil vinegar greasing, it tastes worse than before you boiled it.
I read that line and just assumed that the goal behind it was this sort of like...
It's your I don't think your suggestion is implied in the words. It solves my problem. I wish Gail had been here to hear the question. He walked in literally a moment too late.
So what would happen in a case you had a...
Do you know what the question... You understand the question?
I think so, which is why...
If you don't say Hanan, why should you say that if it's Hishpiach so Pogam, it's Asr? You should say, the vinegar did this, now the vinegar does that.
If you have a food that needs aging, let's say a new wine or something like that, and you have this type of thing,
so my answer to the, well, is this part of the aging process or no?
This is coincidentally falls in. It's Mashpiach it now, but who cares if Mashpiach it now? It's inedible now. And by the time it will be edible, it will be Pogam.
That sounds like a... I feel like that's a grandmother wheels question.
No, I think it's a...
What are you trying to get at in that? In other words, that doesn't address my question. That question is... The real question you have to ask is the following. Is it usher right now? If it is truly inedible right now, then I imagine... Then what does it mean to be nosek hanel shrach? It doesn't approve it because it's still inedible. So you don't... So the fact that it's pogum later, it's pogum. It never was ra'oi for anything, right? It didn't transform this wine into edible wine.
Well, but, I don't know. If you put a lot of sugar into an edible wine, it'll become grape juice and it'll be edible. You put sugar into brand new wine.
So then it is edible now.
But not necessarily without sugar. Sugar-free grape juice.
No, I agree, but but I don't care what you could do to the wine. I don't care if it's Yisera Melech HaSemah. I care what it is now.
Okay.
So when this vinegar falls into the wine... Is it edible now? If it's not, the fact that it will be edible later in the vinegar is pogam, of course it's pogam. What you're telling me, what if it's mashbiach now? It's not mashbiach now, it's inedible. The vinegar is no malav on the morid. Right? My question is, if you don't say chanan, why is it when it's pogam, mashbiach meikara and pogam later, why is it asr?
Because you evaluate it at the time when it's like most things.
So right now it's asr, I understand, it's mashbiach. But later when the vinegar now, assuming you know, leaving aside Alex's concern there, but assuming you know, that later, as you boiled it, the vinegar now is pogame. And without the vinegar, this food would taste better. So why do we say that just because it was mashbiach originally...
We already evaluated the tarova and decided it was usher. And that usher things don't magically become mutter just because they would go bad. That's like saying that...
But here's why I disagree with you. If you say chanan, I understand. But if you say, don't say chanan, then it's not that the taroves was per se usher. You couldn't eat it because there was tam urbo. Now that the tam has turned into a tam pogum, it should be mutter. Your description, we evaluate it now, I understand that, but it means that That's really Hanan.
Once when you evaluate Tov, you decide whether Tov is much or aser.
And by Yavesh be Yavesh, if it's aser now, if one piece of kosher meat falls into two pieces of treif meat, and then you add two pieces of kosher meat, it will be mutter. Later, it became pogum. It's a bishlama if you say Hanan, then you're saying that this is now a form of heter, the form of, this is a food, vinegar beans, which are now aser. And now when they're pogum, when they become a little pogum, that's not enough. It sounds like from the Ran's formulation, this is not just a gzera.
Okay.
He's suggesting it's just a gzera because, you know, you're never going to really know and so on. Because maybe why is it turning pogum? But I don't. If you want to read the Ran, though, it's fine. I don't think that's what he's saying.
I think you have to say if you want to say both ways. If you want to say, in Hafinam, if you want to just say it's pogum now and sofa lashbiach is different than mashbiach now and sofa lifkom, then you could say that one of them is deraita and one of them is only asa gzera. I think you have to say at least one of them is a gzera. Because otherwise you can't, I think it's kind of contradictory, because whatever logic you use for one of them should say the opposite about the other one.
Not sure. Okay, I don't know. I don't actually understand pogum l'sof mashbiach. Unless, in other words...
You could say one of them is gzeira, and the other one isn't.
Well, actually, you could say they're both, if you said Hanan, then they could both be min haTorah. Because the Hanan only works one way.
Right, of course. If you said Hanan. Without Hanan,
right.
You have to say at least
it would seem they should fall in the same category. Liam. And then Daniel.
Is
there
a form of this Vatelis or Lechatchila? Because first you have the minus on an im, it's Lishma, and then you add.
So the answer I think would be is going back to if the normally way you do with this is you boil him. I mean, again, I don't know if anybody does this. If you boil it only to do that, then probably it's now to the Vatelis Lechatchila. But if it was the kind of thing, so I don't know what the situation is. I don't know if it was Hirtichan because normally that's what you do with vinegar and beans or not. I'm not sure. Isn't there like a Heinz variety? Is it with beans and vinegar? No? I don't know.
Clearly you're not supposed to heat up the vinegar in the beans. So maybe you just heat the beans.
I don't know.
Very frequently the cold bean salads do have like vinegar-based dressings, but
okay.
I never heard of like anything.
Okay.
Just to continue from that thought, that's why also when it comes to those people who aren't holding Hanam, they would never say it's okay if they are dying and you took your tar over it, which currently doesn't have the requisite proportion.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that sentiment. In other words, the only question is this something you normally cook? In which case, it might not be mevat l'sachatchila because that's what you normally do with it. But assuming that's not the case, yeah, I agree.
Even if it's not mevat l'sachatchila, it's still bekavana, meaning you're still intending.
What I'm telling you is, as a question, if you were doing something that you would have done no matter what to the food, that might not be a violation of mevat l'sachatchila.
Okay, but it's still you consciously and cognizantly making that decision, as opposed to the other case, one thing fell into something else, and then it fell into the other.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying, in other words, there might be situations where it's mutter, even though you know quite well what the outcome is going to be. In the grinding up flour Mishnah in Trumas. Yeah, you got a question?
The Rosh quote in the first passage of the Yosef, he's not talking about, you know, Mashbiach also.
No, he's talking about that it was in Mishnah. If you look what it's being quoted, the language could lead one to make a mistake, but he's really talking about something that, as the Torah says, and that's what he's referring to. That it's meshubach betchila, meaning when it's be'en, but it's pogam when you put it into the tavshil.
Okay.
Yehuda.
So what would we say about a case where you don't find out about the Tav Ofet until it's after it's already pogam? You know that it was not in time meshubach when it first fell in. You don't find out about it, but it's pogam.
According to the Ran's logic, it would be aser. Right, because even if you didn't know about it, the bottom line, you're asking the question if Yediyah is Goreim less Atoves, but I don't think it matters in this case, because it's not about Isser Taroves. The concern is that when you're boiling it, it's not clear why it's being pogame, because of the vineyard or Mechmas Atzma.
So you think it might be...
It might not depend upon, you know, pronouncing the food Asser itself.
But right? How does this differ from something that was pogame from your point of view? You have a food, as soon as you find out it's mixed in, it was pogame the food.
It's pogame the food, and always pogame, so
it was always pogame, but it was milk in time l'shvach when it first fell in. Let's say...
No, it wasn't. That's the point. That's the question you're asking me. If it's l'shvach originally...
At least it's very clear why it was found. Let's say you have a food that's not perishable, and fleshic preserved meat, and some milk falls in.
Right.
And now it smells like spoiled milk, and it's completely ruined, because you've been leaving it out with the milk. And so
but when it fell in the milk, it was the shvach.
So you obviously know the milk fell in at some point, because now it smells like spoiled milk. And that's how you find out the milk fell in, because it smells like spoiled milk.
Right.
So you would say that even though you never knew about it, or you didn't, and you didn't eat it, you'd still say it was osu.
Because it's a taroves, I think yes, according to Ram, because you don't know why it was pogame. It might be, it's considered pogame echmas atzmo. I don't think it requires a pronouncement of iser for that.
Okay.
I mean, let's say you had the case. Well, it doesn't really work because you can't have it. But I don't think it's a function. Again, elanasel kitavshil sheshpiach mechamasa isur or the besov pagam mechamas atzma.
I guess especially in this case, if I gave it Hanan because we do.
No, it's not Hanan because it's not Bishul.
Oh, it's not Bishul.
Yeah, and you could give that case as well. Well, probably not because then you're cooking it, so it's not going to experience the same problem. Yeah, I don't know. You might be right. It's possible the Ran would say in that case you could, if it's based upon Hanan, then you get into the question of whether Yedias Isser matters to invoke that. So, I don't know. Fine. Continue in the tour. Okay, so this we're obviously only talking about when something is b'tarobas, b'tam, not something, we're not talking about a case where the isser is b'fnei atzmo. If the isser is b'fnei atzmo, in order for it to be mutter under the grounds of nosein tam of kam, it has to be srucha meikara. Danny and I were you know, butting heads, like two moose yesterday. You know, you heard about the moose, they found the moose in a frozen stream, yeah. Okay, so fortunately, we keep a physical distance between us, and it's not freezing in this room. But Danny was pushing still to highlight, and again, we may not reach a resolution on this, but highlight, how does one make the leap from the Gzeres HaKasav, well, assuming the only makar is from Lager Shabbos Erecha Tinanav HaHalah, that Nevela Ruya Lager Kri Nevela, and Sheinu Kri Lager Eina Kri Nevela, how do you get from there to saying that something that is Meshubach B'fnei Atzma B'Pogim B'Taroves, why is that Mutar? Now, one possible answer, but I don't know if anybody actually says this, is that you could have a second Makar for Nosein Tam Lefgam, although I'm not sure it's really a Makar, which is that Gilei Klei Midyan, if you say that's only us or the first day. But I'm not sure that that's a makar that Nosein Tam Lefgam is mutter. There's Adarabba. The reason why we say that Gilei Klei Midyan is only usr the first day is because it's Nosein Tam Lefgam afterwards. But I don't think that in itself is the makar. Correct. I agree. So I think that what I think the Rashba says, and to me this is very mistaber, is that when you're dealing with mamash or shel iser, then the mamash has to be pogum. For a mamash to be pogum, in order to be nosein tam lefgam, it has to be ein ari leger. When you're talking about something that is only tam, something that is only flavoring something else, then the iser you're talking about is tam ke'ikar. It's a new iser, whatever its ramifications are, whether it's an iser aseh, whether it's an iser lav, and so on. And once you're dealing with tam, so tam plays under a separate, it plays under conceptually the same rule. It has to be a good tam. Good means, so in this case, good doesn't mean edible because it's edible because of the larger food. There wasn't enough pagam to render the food inedible. But as long as the food is pogame in the original food, that's the tam is considered inedible, the way the mamashas of an avela srucha is considered inedible. And Reb Chaim did say something like that, right, in the Rambam. What was that that he said? No, so the problem with the Ran,
he takes it to an extreme. He kind of ends up like another two volume also. But in terms
but the question is, why is so? But you're no longer being nene from my point. For the Ran, you're no longer being nene from the Tam HaIsser. You're being nene, if anything, from the Mamashas HaIsser. But the Mamashas HaIsser should have been Bata Barov.
So when Reb Chaim was saying that it's like simply not identifiable as Tam, if like the bound up within the definition of Tam is Hana, which is not at all what the Ran says, right? That's a very big
thing. Hana of the Tam, meaning it tastes good.
Right, meaning that for the Ran, right, as long as the Ran doesn't say that definitionally Tam is dependent on Hana. He's saying that the only reason that we have to be Matir Midoraisa is because like we already know that for Nevela, we have to consider that this moment.
I would say that for the Ran, the only reason why Nosein Tam Lefgam is mutter is because it subtracts from your equation. But once the Nosein Tam Lefgam adds to your equation, not because of its tam, but because of other reasons, because of the volume, you know, go domidaso, So then, you're chayiv on that tam as well.
So if you just narrow the Ran Svara of Hana and say that Hana can only come through tam, then you basically end up with the Svara that we just said.
But you can't narrow the Ran like that, because the Ran explicitly doesn't.
Okay, I'm just saying, it's not
so let me throw a hand grenade.
In addition, like, the Ran never suggests that it wouldn't be considered tam if you didn't have... That's the big difference. For the Ran, it's very much still a real tam. It just is not an usher tam. For the Rashba, it's not a tam at all.
Maybe.
I mean,
so let me throw a hand grenade into this discussion. Tagos Ashiri, which I don't even know what this means. Okay. The Hagos Ashiri, who says that if it's not Nosin Tam Lefkam or Leshvach, it's Asa. I don't know what that means.
Judah and I wanted to say that actually only works for the Rashba. Or at least I want to say that to Judah. I don't know.
You want to say for the Ran, if it's not Leshvach, you're not Nene.
Right, exactly.
You're saying, I'm going to formulate this not conceptually. You want to argue that for the Ran, Tam is Asur if it is Mashpiach in some form or fashion. For the Rashba, Tam is Mutter if it's Pogim. But if it's not Pogim and you can taste it, so then we're looking at the Tam as opposed to the entire Tarovis.
We thought that was Mutter within the Rashba, not necessarily the Ran. Like you could maybe read the Ran back into the Hagos Ashri if you wanted to.
Okay, but you're saying that according to the Rashba, no taste is usher because the whole issue is that taste becomes mutter when it's pogum, as opposed to for the Ran, where taste becomes usher when it's mashbiach. Mashbiach can be in a very broad sense, either the taste of the food or the volume of the food. Once it doesn't enhance the taste, once there's minimal additional volume, it doesn't really serve your purposes, then the Ran would say that it's mutter. I'm still a little hung up. What does it mean that it's not lefgam and not leshvach?
That was your question.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's different.
Water. It's like water.
Yeah, it tastes different. Okay.
No, it doesn't.
So the answer. Well, if it doesn't, what does it mean? It doesn't affect the taste. You have to be able to taste it, so it has to affect the taste.
Tofu.
What's that?
Tofu. You're very well aware that it's there, but it doesn't do anything taste wise.
Yes, I think my problem is that I'm insufficiently understanding of taste. I might say I don't have poor taste, but I might have poor taste, but I don't have a sense of how to define what taste is. Matt?
Yeah, I understood that there's like a taste scale. 1 to 10, 10 the best taste, 1 to very bad taste, all of that. So if you have something that's 5 in the scale, right?
So so I'm going to ask you the...
You've grown it in its size, you had a pound of it, now you have a pound and a quarter of it.
No, we're not talking about the Ran now. We're not talking about the Ran.
No,
I'm just talking... What? I want to talk just on its own. Let's assume there's minimal volume. It's not a volume question. Let's assume it's a spice that you put in. There's almost zero additional volume. I want to know, what does it mean that something is not no Saint Tam of Gum and not no Saint Tam of Shvach? Obviously, you take
the same number on that skin. It was rated a 5. Now that you've added whatever you've added, it's still
going
to 5.
So I'm going to make the following suggestion. Supposing you have pizza and you add oregano to it. Okay? So here's the story. Some people like it that way, some people don't like it. Some people don't care. Right, if you ask me, the pizza with oregano, the pizza without oregano, you know, and some people just put it on because they put it on. At a certain point, it really, you know, some people really, they hold to the oregano. Some people, please no oregano. And some people, like, hey, put the oregano on because, like, does it really make a difference? Not really. So I argue that, I would not call that enos, and that's no Saint Thomas Schwach. In other words, it's edible both ways. It's equally good.
The only thing is the Schwach because there are people in the world who prefer it that way.
Well, correct, because otherwise nobody would have put it on in the first place. I would argue that something that is put in intentionally as an ingredient in a mixture, by definition, is leshvach.
So that would go up from 5 to 6.
Have you ever eaten
salmon?
That's obviously not true. Salads are very tasty.
What's wrong with you? If you have a bland salad, well, then you're just a machine. But if you put the right things in the salad, then it really is good.
But not everything in the salad is a vital type.
It all has a function. What are you talking about?
It's a nutritive function. In your gullet?
All right. Anyway, let's not go there. I'm still, in other words, I understand you're giving me an arithmetic scale, but I don't think we're looking for arithmetic here. I think we're looking for a quality question here. All right. I don't know. I think that in a culture, I had this conversation with one of you, in a culture where spicy food. Let's say that some people eat it really like it's spicy. They like how many Scovilles? I don't know. So I think that in a given society when no one likes it spicy, if someone accidentally pours this, you know, jalapeno pepper, you know, into your thing, that's not a talent of God. But if you live in a culture in which some people do it and some people don't, I would argue definitionally because there are people who add it as an ingredient because it enhances it for them, that's not called not a talent of God.
Even for you.
Even for you. I don't think it goes by each balabas in town. Is it pagan for you? I don't think so.
He talks about honey.
What?
No, meat
that fell into honey. That's tzitzit machlokas harishona, whether that's pogam or not.
That's a complete, because some people like that and some people don't.
So
I think that sounds great.
I don't think the Rambam...
People pour honey in their children. You know, like, people...
I guess you could...
Children.
What?
I used to put things in children. Oh, that's so kind of like... So there are...
You put one of God's tastiest desserts and you mix it. Okay, anyway, but the point is that I don't know, but I don't know if when the Rambam and Chachmei Ashkenaz are arguing about basar and yain, I'm not sure that the basar and vash, I'm not sure that the Rambam said some people like it, some people don't. He thought that nobody liked it, and the Baal said people do. I think that what we're looking for, I don't know. There's something I don't know what it means to have no same tam le meh, right? Or that might, is that really meh? You know, I don't know what that means. Yes, I'm gonna have. I fear you guys are gonna spend your time. I don't want to spend too much time. You're trying to enlighten my benighted self here, Yossi.
Just in terms of the Rashba, so just to clarify myself, we're defining the Rashba's approach to tam as. It's not beneficial time, it's just providing taste, but if it's bad, then it's not considered to be taste.
Yeah. Okay. Or it's not the taste the Torah asked, I'm not sure.
And, well, why are we, I mean, there are many other ways to understand the Rashba, meaning you could say that it's just that he doesn't understand volume, like he thinks it has to be,
has to be the part that's mushbach. I think he sees ta'am in lieu of mamasho by an isur that stands alone, and by mamasho it has to be srucha, and by tam it has to be srucha, but the definition of saruach by tam and by mamasho are two different things. By mamish, it has to make the food inedible. By tam, it's not going to mean make the food inedible, because even less than that is going to be the case if the tam is inedible. And what that means in the context of food that you can eat, but it's pogeb, is that the tam, you know, made it harder to eat, even though it's still edible. Yeah, do you have a question?
No, I was going to get more involved in the thing you don't want us to get involved in right now.
Thank you. Someone with discretion here. Okay, more than mine. Me, yes. It's Kasdan.
But you are moda that you could have something that's tama l'shvach, but if you keep adding to it, it's just a higher concentration of the flavor, and then that's no longer... Your spice example, for instance. Meaning everybody... A lot of people may like a little bit of spice, but you'll hit a point that
If you add in bevasachas... first, if you turn the food inedible where nobody can eat it, well, of course it's not. It's nimei asrucha. But if you turn it to the point that people, nobody would eat it, that spicy, where it is that spicy, but it's still technically edible, so when you initially put in the spice shell iser, right, it was still edible. So therefore, that's called hishbiach l'mesel pagan. You have to have the spice with vasachas. The spices have to fall in vasachas. Well, some vasachas, then I agree. That's called Nasei Tam of Gam.
Even if there's like one or two manly men who really like the spice like that, but nobody else.
I don't like that term. You know, that's almost a misogynist way of describing it.
You have to say
that the people whose taste buds are dead or are crazy.
No, but
right?
They're
not manly.
Sometimes you wonder, do you actually like it that spicy, or are you just trying to make a point? Have you ever encountered such a...
I know such people. Well, actually, the person I know does that has no sinuses left, so he claims that he can't even experience it. Yes.
So if it's something...
You mean like the guy at the Seder, even though horseradish is not more, but the guy who wants to outdo everybody else, so he's going to put more on and watch the steam come out of his ears?
If you have something that only that person will eat, or those who will eat, you would say that for everybody else.
It might be no same time of time. Probably, yes.
Okay.
Probably. Yes.
If you put the spice on and... It's a good spice, but then they realize, you know, it's not as good as they wanted it, so they put more. But now it turns to be pagum. Would you consider that as if it was...
Evaluate, I think, after the first point, I think, is where you stop. If you stop. I mean, that's what I think.
Right.
That's what I think. David.
Yeah, It might be based off the Makorim, but why is there not a similar standard of, like, let's say, achilo, or like something being food, of this, where we say it's royal lechilas goit, or let's say chametz, where we say it's royal lechilas keller?
So this is a different issue. Maybe that chametz has a different din than everything else. There may be a chumra of chametz that it has to be nisal me'achilas. Once it's roi la'adam, it has to be nisal me'achilas akelav. It's not enough to be positive. But I think that's a unique din in chametz. Okay. I think the reason for that is because se'or, and that's due to the fact that se'or is also asur. Se'or is not really edible for an adam. And therefore, if the Torah asks se'or anyway, so it means that the standard is lower. And se'or, I guess, can be eaten by a dog. So the standard becomes nisal me'achilas akelav. But that's unique, I think, in chametz and se'or. Okay, so now let's continue. Okay, so we discussed this already, and I understand one way more than the other, even though I still have the Hanan question, but we don't need to revisit that. Okay. Yes. Pagam al b'sof ishbiach? No. So I would say pagam al b'sof ishbiach. I think I suggested this theory to some of you during Seder, even though I'm not sure about the ingredients. I assume that pagam al b'sof ishbiach. But what about a case where you put something into the food and right now it doesn't taste very good? In other words, you put it intentionally because you're going to cook it. Right now, it would taste terrible. But later, it's going to, the way it is. So I would tell you that that's analogous to, a little bit, in some vague conceptual fashion, to the idea of Rabbeinu Tam, that whenever you have something which is an ingredient, not just something that accidentally falls in, that's called min b'mina. In other words, if this is the way you make the food, so we suspend our looking at it until you've actually completed the job. Right? It's hard to imagine that you put in a food into a tavshil, and it's because we know it's made that way, it's going to be sofa lashbiach, we already see the shevach right now.
And in the opposite case...
So the opposite case is something that is mashbiach or the sof pagam, presumably you don't put in on purpose.
Or we don't plan on doing...
Right, you know, correct.
We don't plan on making it so that this will...
So that wouldn't, right, so it wouldn't usually happen that way. In the usual case would be something maybe it fell in, you didn't intend to, and now you, I don't know. I'm not sure, but that's the best explanation I can come up with. I don't truly understand pagam l'sof hishbiach, because I'm telling you why I don't understand it. What's the din by nevela, which, this goes back to the case of, maybe this is the makor, in fact, for achshavei.
Which of the two cases?
Do I not understand so well?
Right.
Pagam l'sof hishbiach. Let me explain why.
That's the one you're referring to the Sfarah for, and not the one we spoke about earlier.
Correct, correct. And I don't understand it. I don't understand this one so well. The early one makes sense. It makes sense to me, especially if you hold Hanan.
Okay.
It makes less sense if you don't.
Okay.
But in this case, I understand. I'll tell you what bothers me. What's the din if you have a nevela and it becomes a neruya lager? Mutter. And now you turn around and you spice it up and you manage to cover up the taste, whatever. Is it mutter now? I think the answer is yes. I mean, except for achshavei. unless I'm wrong, but I, you know, let's say you find a way to make that meat be tasty in the stew, like you boil it and you spice it and you do this and that, and then you know what? It covers up the rotting taste. I mean, the truth is, now it's Roy Lachila, but it really became Nifsal.
Done that himself also.
What's that?
He could have done his magic on this Nevela.
I know, but this is the gelatin question again. Right, it's been turned into an inedible form, and now and at this point we now use it in a way that's edible. But maybe so that may be better than this, because there the gelatin is never truly edible. We rehydrate the gelatin, all of a sudden it's delicious gelatin. The gelatin just has an effect, so you call that achshavei. So man, that's the question. If you have when it says again, it's hard to imagine actually doing that, because for an avela to be so srucha that it's not really lager, it's hard to imagine being able to resuscitate. But if you could.
I mean, that's an obviously different case. First of all, it's a case where I'm covering up a bad taste as opposed to, you know, changing the taste. And second of all...
Okay, so let's say I could improve the taste. Let's say through a chemical process, that I've invented. If someone, people know me, but I could improve the taste. So the meat would, once again, I irradiate it, I do something to it, when actually the meat doesn't taste too bad. And not so bad. So I would have thought that once the Isser was paka from the Nevela, it's mutter. Right? It's not chosav an eora. I would have thought. I could be wrong. Morty?
That would be the same as cooking it. That's the same as having a raw piece of meat and cooking it, if you're just changing it chemically.
Well, firstly, raw piece of meat. That is part of the question we're asking here, right? Except for it's not normal to do that with a Nevela. Right, so the question is, you could absolve me my question if you say that a nevela, in order to be muta, has to be srucha la olam bayit. There has to be no chance of resuscitating, doing chias ha-mesim on this nevela. Maybe. What?
Then you're
to bring it back to life is one thing. To make it taste good, that's another. Okay. Fine. Now, there is a discussion in the Beis Yosef, which we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch about what is this. The Gemara says that honey and shemen shalgayim is mutter. And in the process of discussion, the Gemara says that if you're concerned about gi'ulei akum, no sein tam lefgam is mutter. So the question is, what were you cooking the honey and the shemen with? So that's, there's a very, the long ashach and the siman, I think, which is fundamentally, conceptually not so interesting. We're just talking about, well, the Rambam says basar. Even basar in honey and oil is no same time of gam, and other Rishonim disagree. All right, it's a whole long arichas. So the Ramah starts out in that Moshe talking about that issue, and he comes up with a conclusion different than the Rambam. It's a machlokes. I think the Mechaber and the Ramah. I know the Mechaber quotes the Rambam, right? I don't think he quotes the second this other day, but the Ramah quotes the Yisur V'Heter based upon the second. He quotes based upon a number of the Rishonim of Ashkenaz, that it doesn't mean, when we say that meat in dvash is mutter, it doesn't mean honey, it means some made dvash, some product of honey, or whatever. But the really interesting passage comes in the Darkei Moshe, in the Katzar, in Os Aleph, where he says, Kasav ha-Isr v'heter are akol lamed beis. David, go ahead.
Yes, Kasav ha-Isr v'heter akol lamed beis, davka v'nachal mutar, what does that say?
No same time of gam. Okay. Does this strike you as shocking? First, let's figure out what you might have. You present. What?
I don't know how many of us like actually
knew
it. It was a little bit into the dark.
Yeah, it's after the it's the second piece. Read that. I struggle with this, but I may struggle with it ironically because I know too much already. I didn't know enough, but I know too much. My problem is that I know a certain principle, or I assume a certain principle about Nosin Tam of Gam, and Kalim, which you may not necessarily realize, which puts you at an advantage in reading this Sefer Hetta because you'll take it at face value, which is probably the way it should be read. You know that kalim after 24 hours are no sein tam lefgam. Therefore, are you allowed to cook in kalim after 24 hours? The answer is no. You're not allowed to. It's asur. Why? Gdera in a benyoma atu benyoma. What happens if you have a pot that absorbs a tam which is pugum in the first place? So my assumption is, and it's not an assumption without basis, is that you don't? There's no iser in that. There's no iser in using the clay because there's no gzeira there, right? It was pugum when it was a ben yomo, so there's no shayla that there shouldn't be any shayla about using the clay. That's what I assume. It's a basis for my assumption. We're going to see the Mechaber talks about. I think in Hilchos Basar B'Challav, if you're washing, I think milchik and fleishik together dishes, putting soap or afer in the water and make it all pugum, and that makes us live happily ever after. No problem. And the problem, of course, is, but the kalim still might absorb. The answer is we don't care, because when it absorbs, it's pagum. So if you work with that assumption, you read the Isser V'Heter, and it's hard to read the Isser V'Heter, because what is he talking about? But you have to remember that that is just the maskana, I'm assuming, not necessarily the position of the Isser V'Heter, which the Rama happens to quote, believe it or not, although he doesn't quote the whole thing. he quotes the even worser part, if there is such a thing. So what he says is as follows. If you put a piece of Isser that is pogum bifnei atzmo, or just pogum in the tavshil, The tavshil is mutter. But what if you put something, even if it's pogum ifnei atzmo, I would say the nevela srucha, and you cook it in the pot, what's the din? The Isser Beheter says you have to kashru the pot. You're not allowed to use it. Why? Because no saint tam lefgam in a kli is asr. We don't hold that way. We don't hold that no saint tam lefgam in a kli is asr. We hold that a kli in which you cook something that was meshubach and now it's turned into pogum, you're not allowed to cook in because gzeira eino banyomo ota banyomo. But the Isser Beheter doesn't hold that way. When I say we don't hold that, we hold that way. I'm not sure what the Ramah actually holds. We'll see in a second. Yes.
Just a step back. Again, what you're saying, but what's his svara for this?
Is that they were only matir no sein tam lefgam in tavshil, which is a b'dieved, not in a kli. Which, by the way, doesn't mean if I'm not mistaken, I actually did look at the original Isser Beheter here and the Ramah citation of the Toras Chatas, although I need to read it a few more times. But I think that the Isser Beheter would say that if it were Kli Cheres, it would be Mutar. Because that's B'dieved, you can't kasher it. I think so.
But he was saying the Tom, that then is going
to
be quite...
No, then we take the second step. Let's say you cook food now in this pot. And let's say this pot, the Tom in the walls of the pot is Pogum. It's Pogum minimally because the food itself was Pogum. But now let's say you happen to cook something in that pot. Let's say Chiltis, he doesn't give that example. You cook a Davar Charev. And then that flavor now is no say tam, is turned into shvach by the davar charev. He says the tavshil is aser. Right? The tama iser, which was pogum, which is now emitted into this food, which turns it into a shevach, that's
it. Turn it into a shevach?
How does chiltis turn no say tam of gam into a shevach?
I don't know.
The Gemara says it does. Sharp foods have the effect on certain things that would be pogum otherwise of sweetening them.
With that?
I'm giving you an example. Okay. I'm just giving you an example there. I'm not telling you everybody agrees with this. Now, what the...
Is this what you're saying, that it's usher to cook in the kli?
Yep.
Why is usher to cook in the kli?
Because no saint tam lefgam is only mutter in food. It's not mutter in a kli. In a kli, you have to kasher.
Well, once the kli is poli the tam, it'll be in food again, and then it'll be mutter again.
It doesn't matter. The same thing is true by a no saint tam lefgam of a pot that's not benyomo. You're still not allowed to cook in it. Even
that's
though. Well, that's what you're already citing the maskana. You're saying the gzera is only on benyom.
Meaning,
he seems to think that that they weren't.
Is there an iser bishul b'kli, or is it yes. The food cooking?
Okay. No, it's usher to cook in the kli.
Based on tam.
Based on no saint tam of kam is not mutun kli. You have to kasher can with them tam pugum.
What? That can conflict with the Torah is saying later, like a bunch of lines at the very end of this sentence.
He might, but the tour does, I'm sure, does not hold that way, like the Isser Beheter. No, that's a different issue. That's a well, wait till we get there. That's unrelated. So this is a chiddush. It's a chiddush minimally to our way of thinking. Yehuda?
So if you cook it a clear thing ben yomo, the food you cook it is mutter, even though it was usher to cook it?
I believe so. I don't think... There's any gzeira. I don't even think in terms of vatlis l'chatchila. I'm not sure. I don't think the food is aser.
Is it more to l'chatchila to eat food than a non-Jew cooked in that pot?
So maybe if you cooked in it intentionally. I know you could raise the issue of vatlis l'chatchila, which I've always questioned whether it's applicable because your intent is not to be vatlis, your intent is to use the pot. So I think that generally speaking, I think we assume that Shulchan Aruch certainly paskins by guy doing it, it's not a problem eating it. So we'll probably encounter this at some one point or another.
It does make sense to say that the food is kosher and
not kosher. Right, and we understand why, because we're afraid that you'll eventually come, after the fact, we evaluate, was it no satam l'kam, no satam l'shvach, but we're afraid that if we let you do this, you know, then you're going to wind up making mistakes.
So if you cook this food in another this mutter food, it would also as many pots. He's saying if you cook any food, that's...
No. Don't go there yet. Hold on, we haven't gotten there yet. Not yet, okay? Okay. There's one little lagavra you've forgotten about, which we don't know about. His name is not Barnat. He was Sparty, obviously, because they named the child after the father. There's an old story, by the way. It must be apocryphal, but I think I must have heard Schechter say it, because it's the kind about a student who went in for his oral Yoridei Bechina with the Rav and whoever other Rashi Yeshiva, and they asked him about Nat Bar Nat, and I guess he had never heard it pronounced that way, and he thought it was a person. He said, I'm sure there's no such person mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. He probably got smicha anyway, would be my bet. But I don't know. Maybe the standards have been lowered since, but no, I'm just kidding. But naparnat, you know what naparnat is? You know what naparnat is? It means dos in tamar stam. We have to explain what that is. It comes up here, actually. And the Shach and Paz get into a little bit of a wrestling match over an issue. Before we read the next part in the Issur v'Heter, let me explain what naparnat is. Be very careful about this. Svardim hold that if you take par food and you cook it in a clean, fleshic pot, you can eat that food with milk. You can cook the food with milk. You can pour cheese. If you cook broccoli in a fleshic, clean pot, ben yomo.
If you
take a clean, fleshic pot that you just made meat in, it's ben yomo, and you cook broccoli in it. Now you take the broccoli, you can put it on a milchik plate, you can pour cheese sauce over it, it's perfectly mutter according to Svardim. And I believe that Svardim even hold it, you could lechatchila make the broccoli that way. The Shach claims otherwise, but I'm told that, I remember this is my first experience recognizing that just because the Shach is a commentary on the Mechaber, it doesn't mean the Svardim necessarily hold the Shach. So I remember many years ago, I think it was in my Targumim class, and almost 30 years ago. This spring will be 30 years. Oh my God, I really reached that. I was not that precocious. Yossi, I'm not sure. Either you think I was incredibly precocious or you think I'm incredibly old. Okay, one of the two. It was in Professor Bernstein's class, and there were a couple of Syrian students in there. And this somehow came up, you know, after class, before class, whatever it was. And I guess I don't know why I would have known about this, but I think it was in that context. They said, no, they'd hold it to Motul L'Chatrila. And that's the Pashtus in the Mechaber. Now, most Rishonim hold that way. But there are some Rishonim and Ashkenaz who were machmir, and they held differently. We're going to do that in Basar B'Chalav. It's a sugya in Parakala Basar. It's called Dagim Sha'alu B'Ka'ara, is the name of the sugya. And in that, the bottom line for the Ramah is that in order for... What not by not means on the Chaver is... See, by that token, you could ask the following question. If you cook chazir in a pot, and now you cook kosher in that pot after you've cleaned the pot, why isn't that mutter? It's not by not. So what it means is that not by not the hetera is not called tam. If you defile the tam twice, and at that point it's still mutter, then it's not tam at all. I know that sounds strange from a physical perspective, but the Gemara does have this concept, a similar concept elsewhere, in the last daf in Avodah Zarah in Hagalas Kalim, which is that if you cook, you normally have to, we say that if you cook without a liquid medium and a kli, and you roast in a pan or something like that, and a spit, in order to kashrut, you have to do libun. If you always cook when there's liquid in something, then you don't have to do libun. In principle, you only have to do hagala. However, the Gemara does seem to produce a klal, that if when the kli is bolea, it's bolea heter, it doesn't matter, it never needs, as a matter of principle, libun. If it's hetera bala, Hagala always suffices. Because it's considered, it's already a tam kolosh, and by a tam kolosh there's no iser. It matters, the Gemara raises in the context, if you cook karbanos in a pot, and when you cook them, it's mutter, then the next day, even though it would become nosar, you don't need to ever use libun. Hagala, if it's a hagalable pot, if it's a kashrut pot, it only requires hagala. And from that it's taken, the extension is made to other things of heter. The big issue this comes up, where it's a huge machlokas harishonim, is what is the status of chametz kodem ha-pesach? Not, I don't mean erev Pesach, I mean a week before Pesach. It's chametz called isura bala or hetera bala. In other words, it's mutter to eat them, but Pesach exists, is the chametz labeled as isur. If you held, it's big machlokas harishonim, if you held that chametz is hetera bala, you would never need to do libun for stuff for Pesach, unless it was a kli you just couldn't do physically hagala on, for whatever reason. It happens to be, you know, as soon as you open up the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tafnun Aleph and the Mechaber is talking about what needs Libum, what needs Hagala on Pesach, you know that the Mechaber is Paschal and this Chametz is Yisur Abala. So, but I mentioned this as an example. God willing, we'll come back to that at the end of the year. I mentioned that here to understand that why not bar not is not considered, if the second time is still mutter, completely mutter, according to the Mechaber, then it's not considered time at all. So, when I cook the meat in a pot, the meat time goes from time one is from the meat into the pot. Now I cook the broccoli in the pot, the time two is from the pot into the broccoli. That time basar is certainly mutter. Whether it's fleishik or not, a separate question. But since it's mutter, it's not considered time at all, and the broccoli is parf. For Ashkenazim, you require a third nesinas tam to be treated like that. Alternatively, what for Ashkenazim, and this may be a machlokas achronim, Ashkenazim would say that if the pot, the meat pot, was an eno ben yomo, So everybody agrees that the meat pot was an eino b'yomo, where you cooked your broccoli, your pasta, your rice in it. Once you cooked in it, it's mutter to mix milk in it. There are some acharonim who claim it's asur l'chatchila to cook in that pot with the intent of consuming milchoks. But certainly once you did it, but for Ashkenazim, we're going to see, again, we're going to get to this in Basar B'Challah. For Ashkenazim, if you take a benyomo pot, which is fleshik, and you cook broccoli in it, l'chatchila, you're not allowed to mix cheese into it or eat it with milk once you've done that. But if you did accidentally or already pour the cheese sauce over the broccoli, then even Ashkenazim permit its consumption. But the chatchila for Ashkenazim, it would have to be not bar not bar not, or no Saint Tam of Gam in there. How do you get not bar not bar not? So let's take the following. Let's say I had a fleshik spoon, okay, and I stirred the broccoli with it. Okay, I stir the broccoli with it, and now. So what do we have? We have the spoon. The meat put tam into the spoon, that's one. The spoon put tam into the broccoli, that's two. The broccoli now might put that tam into the walls of the pot. So, is the pot fleshik or not? Can you cook milk in it? The answer is yes, because the third tam already in the walls of the pot of basar was heter. Therefore, the tam of basar in the walls of the pot is not considered tam, and therefore you could cook milk in it. So the Ashkenazim require one step further. Yes. Well, the spoon directly to the pot won't do anything anyway. It's dry and dry, won't have no effect. There's no tam transfer. The only way the tam of basar can get into the walls of the pot is having got from the spoon, which is already tam number one, is into the broccoli, liquid, whatever's being cooked in the walls of the pot. What? Yeah, and as I have a fleshik spoon that was cooked, let's say benyomo, today I stirred meatballs with it. Now I go to my pot, which is a power pot, let's say, and it's got broccoli cooking in it. And now I stir the broccoli with the spoon. The clean spoon. It's clean. It's no bad. So there's tam, the basar in the spoon is tam number one. The spoon into the broccoli is number two. The broccoli into the wall of this power pot is number three. The pot is still par. Because that tam is heter, since the tam, we've been with it no matter what. The only question is inflation. Since that tam is heter, therefore it's not tam at all.
So your spoon didn't touch the wall of the pot?
I'm saying it doesn't make a difference if your spoon touches the wall of the pot. Because the spoon and the wall of the pot cannot directly, two solids don't directly transfer flavor. You need a liquid in between them, right? Putting a hot spoon, I'm pretty sure, a hot spoon next to a hot pot with no food doesn't transfer tam.
Like sleep.
Yeah, we don't, there's no sleep for Caleb, I guess, yes.
Let's say there was some sort of sauce in the pot, so the spoon was actually stirring a liquid when it touched the wall.
No, it's not, but it means if it get into the wall, it's got to go through the liquid.
Oh, that's already.
It's got to go through the liquid, yes.
That's the bell in my case. My case is not enough. That you have meat that has a usher pugum case there.
Would you hold on? We haven't gotten here yet. I'm just giving a background. You know?
Okay,
we're going to read the rest of the diet.
That's not enough, though, at all. My case is where you have food that's a pugum taste. You cook it in the pot, and you move it to a different pot.
Before we talk about any case, I gave an introduction to not by not. Now let's take a look at what the Rama quotes from the Isser V'Heter. All right. So the next step is the Od Karsav. David, might take over, please. Thank you, David.
Where you go? Are we still in Dr. Moshe?
Still in Dr. Moshe. The Od Karsav.
The Od Karsav. You lo nafal Isser a pogim asu dera a shabishul ba tafshil a shenafal l'tocho Isser pegum hakdera asura.
So what does he say? He says that if the Isser HaPogim was, he didn't cook that alone. That Isser HaPogim was somehow placed into the food in the pot. Okay, and now, the Pogim goes, first it flavors. And as you can even have a case as follows. Let's say you had a Tam Pogim that was cooked in a Tavshil. You remove the Be'en. You now take that Tavshil, you put it in another pot. But Landafka could even be the original pot. And let's say the Tam Pogum wasn't Be'en, in a sense. It got blended up, so it doesn't come in contact with the wall directly. It flavors the food with the Pogum. Now that Pogum Tam can go into the walls of the pot. So remember, what is the status of that not bar not for the Isser V'Heter at that point? Is it Mutter or Asser? It's only two Nesinas Tams in a Kli, even though it's Pogum. So therefore, it still should be a Tam of Isser for the Isser V'Heter. So he says that if that's the case, Ela Shabisha Batav Shoshnaf Lasoch Isser Pogum, then is Hakadera Asura. Because it was only a second step And it was Osir. What? No, I don't. Firstly, Svardim are not going to hold the Sisva Heter anyway. So I think Svardim would say that it's, since it's still Pogum now, I think they would say it's Mutter. Let's look at the next step. Aval.
Well, Imtachav Kaf Shanira Bo Isser Pogum Matashub Shabdera Hakdera Nami Shari.
So if you take a spoon and you stir the Isser Pogum, and now you take that spoon, so that's Tom number one, and now you take that spoon and you stick it into a Tavshil, which is Kasher. So now, any Tom Pogum from there goes into the Tavshil, that's number two. Now, if it goes into the pot, so he says, what's the din? Now what about, so he says, Akadeira Nami Shari, why?
Oh, Tavshil Shari, Dehavale Nat Benat. Dehtera Dehari Gam Kin Hakaf Nat.
No saying Tom Pogum, but the Tavshil. Right, so what's not entirely, that's all for this Isra, it's not entirely clear what is, which way the Isra Heter is working. Is It's tempting, it's easier, even though I don't think it would be correct to read it. He's allowing not bar not. You only need two. More like Tzvardim. But he's saying, where's the second Tom?
The Tavshil.
In the Tavshil. And it's Mutter in the Tavshil, therefore not a problem. But that means he only has two knots. The alternative is to say no. He requires three. Into the kaf, into the food, into the walls of the pot. And now he says, but it's still Mutter. Is it really still Mutter in the walls of a pot? So maybe what he means is Me'ikar Hadin, Tom Pogum is really Mutter. We might have some type of Gzera not to use it in a Kli. But since Me'ikar Hadin, it's already a Tom Shlishi, and it really is Mutter, so then maybe that's what he means. That it works better if you say only not bar not, and into the food. It's a simpler read. But it's one of these two that he's using. But that's, now you understand why I introduced, this is the concept of not bar not. Yes?
If the Asimahesar holds that, why would it be problematic for him to say that at this point, the fact, even though it's probably...
So again, even for us, not bar not bar not for Ashkenazim, and not bar not for Sfardim, it has to be that when you get to the last Nesin Estam, number two or number three, it has to be still Mutter. The problem is that the third one being Pogum in the walls of the pot. That's why is it Usser? Again, if I cook milk in a pot, and now I want to cook meat in the pot, what's the problem? Milk into the pot, pot into the milk, it's a pot into the meat, it's not bar not. The answer is no, because when the second time happens, it's Basar B'chalav, it's Shel Isser. You have to get to either, again, second or third time, drill this into your head. We're not doing this now, but we've explained a lot of concepts now that we're going to see formally later. It has to be that the last time of what you're possibly, is it called time or not, has to be heter. Does that, it could be flesh, it could be milch, but it has to be heter. Once it is, then you say it's not even time at all. Okay, fine. Yes.
Quick question.
Correct, absolutely correct. Dairy equipment is exactly about that, and it's a problem only for Ashkenazim. The concern is that you used equipment with dairy benyomo, and the kelim absorbed, and now you put power stuff in it, and the question is, when the power stuff absorbs that tam, it's only a second tam. It's a food into the kli, into the machinery into the otherwise power food. Is that not bar not? Is that milchik or not? So the answer is, for the Ramah, l'chatchila, yes. Right? If you took the Oreos and you made Oreo cholent, okay, so it would be mutter to eat the Oreo cholent.
But you can't do it.
But l'chatchila Ashkenaz, Sfardim, you may l'chatchila make an Oreo cholent. You may not l'chatchila make an Oreo cholent unless it's a par of cholent, okay? Now, if it were your cholent pot, but you only had par stuff in it, then probably the Oreo should be mutter to make the Oreo cholent. Why? Because the milk into the kli into the Oreos into the cholent, that's already not bar not bar not, that's not called milk anymore, so even from the cholent into the pot, that would be fine.
Well, when do we say that?
What's that?
The next time.
The next time, yes. Yes, you see.
When do we say that the food that falls in doesn't transfer taste to the walls itself, but rather transfers taste to the tavshil?
That's a question that always bedevils me. I'm not always sure, but I think... So that's always a little bit tricky. How do you know that it wasn't swimming and touched the walls of the pot directly? I'm not sure of the answer to that question. That's why before I wanted to grind up the Oreo. Well, I'm not even. But it's complicated. I don't know if it's ever explicitly addressed. Well, Again, this is my third time teaching you there, so hopefully this time, through, you know, all the questions that more every time I teach it, there are more questions that whose answers become clearer to me. That's the way it works. It's very probably very hard learning your there the first time. I'm learning it for the fourth time. Yes.
Going back to the Oreo case, I guess.
Yes.
Does it matter that they wash the machines in between?
You're asking a different question. You have to ask whether our machines are really balea, what works in terms of cleanup. But the answer is if it's balua in the kli, washing it doesn't help unless you kasher it. Right? The way that normally they have to put boiling water through the machinery or through the production line in order to kasher it. So, okay. Yeah.
I'm missing the last.
Yes, step. If you're wondering, Oreos may be eaten as dessert for a fleshik meal.
Why
right? Even Ashkenazim.
That's my question.
Yes.
I mean, why don't we just say it's dairy for Ashkenazim?
Because you're allowed, well, the kashrus organizations have decided that we are morons, which they might be mostly correct on. People don't know a whole lot. You guys aren't. You guys now understand what we're talking about. But a lot of Balabatim get confused. I'm not taking a stand on whether they should or shouldn't. But it's not dairy.
Why is it not dairy?
Because you can eat it after a meat meal. And because not, because of Ikar, then we paskin not bar not is mutter, like the Sephardim.
But even if you're making it l'chatchila, someone's choosing to make the Oreo in these cases.
They don't make it so they can make it milk it. They make it because they don't want to bother to cash the line in between. That's all.
But once we know in advance of them making it, they're using these cases.
So what? So it's still not milk. No. No.
Why do we distinguish?
No. If you mixed it in with your meat, sholent, b'dieved, it's mutter for Ashkenazim. For Sfardim, it's mutter l'chatchila. For Ashkenazim, it's mutter to have it as your dessert after a meat meal.
Why do we distinguish between cooking it
because cooking milk and meat is an issa d'oraisa. You know, there's an old joke that's told. You know, God says to Moses, "Don't cook a kid in its mother's milk." Right? You know the story?
Yes.
Okay. So understand that waiting in between milk and meat. First, you have to start with a gzera de rabbanon that eating meat and milk together is mutter min haTorah only if they are cooked together, and then. waiting in between itself is also an issa d'rabbanan. It's a chumrah, for purebred Ashkenazim, not yekes, but if you're Rabbeinu Tanniks, they don't even have to wait in between, between meat and milk. So, don't you wish you were one of the Balei Tosfos? Change the tablecloth according to Rabbeinu Tam.
They didn't wait in between meat and milk?
Rabbeinu Tam sounds like it was a new meal. It's mutter. Change the mappa and you move on. We will deal with that sugya when we get there. I can't do everything. I know this is really interesting because accidents don't happen every day in the kitchen, but but eating your Oreos after the meal is the dessert. That actually matters. I get it. Got it.
What about not, so an item that's not binach and cooking in, let's say, the Oreos, cooking them in a meat pot, not with meat, but in a pot that's meat?
So the question is if it's going to transfer tam directly. I chose the chillin. And somebody, whoever challenged me about, I don't know, somebody challenged Liam, or no, who challenged me about direct cooking, direct, how do you decide when it goes directly from the food into the pot as opposed to through the outer medium?
Yes.
Right, so I don't know the answer, but assuming, that's why I chose a cholent. If the Oreos were liquid, and you put them in that liquid and put that in that cholent pot alone, then it would be l'chatchila asr to do. Right. So
I think if you have a part of cholent, then you can put it in the Oreos.
Right, but I'm arguing that they first goes into the cholent, and at that point the tam is not a tam anymore.
So in theory, you could have then the part of cholent with the dairy from the Oreos with the meat pot.
Correct, that's what I'm suggesting, and I'm not assuming that the Oreos in the midst of the cholent transmit their flavor, that flavor directly, but that's a question as to how do I know that. But in principle, if we ascertain that, so that's not an issue.
The liquid Oreos would be
what they're coming up in, though? Yes. It should be mutter b'dieved, yes. Yeah.
When I cook my Oreos in the cholent, the
somebody listening to this shiur is going to think there's crazy people here. Oreos in a cholent.
It sounds
dates.
So good.
We've gone from dates to Oreos.
When the milk from the Oreos enters the meat of the cholent, now it's not barna barna.
No, I said a parf cholent.
I think in a meat cholent. I would cook it in a meat cholent.
But the problem is that if you, the Oreos right now are tam of chalav not barna. If it goes directly to the meat, and the cholent, then that's not bar not bar not the isura. It's basa b'chalav. Wumachmir. That the key, it always has to be the third or second time, always has to be leheta. Then you can dismiss the time. Yeah.
even if we do say that the dairy equipment is dairy, there's no way that the milk is going to be more than a 60th in the order.
So that's a bit of a silchatrin question. I'm not getting into that. I understand. But we'll say we don't know how much the Oreo absorb, right? Because ibamai denafak bine ketzad misharinan mina yadinan. So that's always a problem, right? How do you know? If you knew for sure that the amount of the milk that had ever been run through that line would only be a small fraction, yeah, but you don't know. I know we know. Those kalim are not being mafled anything in the first place. I understand that also. Right? So you have to accept a little bit, what?
Does it matter that nowadays
our we've had this, we're going to have this discussion again. I don't want to have that one now. The answer is it does, but it doesn't. It does, but it doesn't, because until someone with broad enough shoulders that everybody will listen to says, yeah, it's mutter, it's going to split a community apart. You must be joking. Yes. My merry band of followers might, but we might march up a cliff together. Okay.
By the way, I think I've heard relatively reliably that Oreos aren't even
Not going to argue, whatever. I'm not putting Oreos in my cholent anyway, so. All right. In fact, I prefer not to eat Oreos, even though
The only difference would be whether you have to hand out new plates.
Okay. All right. So anyway, maybe not with the cold plates. I don't know how machmir we would be on that. Okay. So I want to read Hay, and then we'll stop with that. And gentlemen, be well prepared on Zion tomorrow. If I'm really good, go take a look. I haven't even seen it yet. I didn't get that far in Seder, in the shots. But I'm sure it's on the Makoros. The long shach in Yudalit is the one about honey. I'm not interested in that so much. It's Sif Katan Yudches, and I mentioned, I would think it was Tzadi Dal Chapez, so my memory is not that far off. Sif Katan Yudches, be prepared to watch the shach and the Beis Yosef do battle. Of course, only one-sided battle, because the Beis Yosef never got to respond. I think the shach is correct, by the way, but not that my opinion actually counts for anything here. So make sure you do very carefully Zion, and you finish the Beis Yosef, and then be prepared to talk about that in the context, even if we haven't read the Shulchan Aruch, we may not get through all of it. I don't expect to get through all of it tomorrow, although we kind of discussed all the issues at this point. Sif Katan Yudches in the Shach is rather important. Okay, it might be the second to last Sif in there. Really, really, really important. It's a very interesting topic. Okay, so let's just read Hey, David, finish for us. Sorry. I would Daniel, just read Hey. Kol Kedera.
Kol Kedera Shema by Yom HaChashiva Tama Lefkapena Oseret.
Okay, so this is a principle that we know already. You've heard from me many times that a kedera after 24 hours hasn't been used is considered as tam. The Beis Yosef obviously introduces the other major shita, which is occasionally used as a snif lekula. What is that other shita? What? Linas Laila, the shita of Rashi and Rabbi Nutam, which is not crazy. It means if it's left out overnight, and let's assume for the moment the pot hasn't been used all night. So either Tchilas Laila, Sof Laila, some part of the Laila causes it to become pagum. The Zeichel Adavar is Nosar, which raises its own problems. But the way Nosar is described by the Gemara is Teubar Tsurasa, which is, by the way, not crazy when you think about it. If you leave a food like that, especially a film in a pot, overnight, right? At some point, that film goes rancid. So anyway, we will talk about that more tomorrow, but if you want to focus on that smog, I think that the Torah quotes.
We have to move on to the now.